I want you to open your Bibles up, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And in a moment, we're going to look at verse 12. Today, just for one lesson, I want to talk about avoiding the trap of comparison. Avoiding the trap of comparisons. Normally we have images up on the and graphics up on the screen, but I changed my sermon. I changed what I was going to be teaching, so there won't be any graphics up there, but they're going to put the scriptures up on the monitor. We're going to talk about avoiding the trap of comparison. Now, some time ago, you were celebrating my birthday. And if you remember, they brought up several different pictures of me. I got a lot of pictures of me as a little kid. One of the pictures, I was by a little rocking horse. Another picture of me, I had my finger in my mouth. Another picture of me, I had a cowboy suit on. There's another picture of me. I had a full football outfit on. And then there was a picture of me in my high school basketball uniform. Well, each one of those pictures represent a time in my life. And even though I changed, every time you looked at a different picture, there was a change. Each change was me. Now, this is me now. No hair now, okay? But I am full grown. I am a full grown man. I'm not that little kid by the rocking horse. I'm not the little kid with the uniform, but I am a full grown man. Now, watch this. I'm still me. I'm just more a complete me. Does that make sense? That's the way destiny is and our destiny journey is. God develops us on an individual basis through phases. He'll take us from one phase to another phase to another phase. It's still us, but we change in each phase, but it's still us. It's the same way with the destiny of churches, local churches, ministries. If we go back to the house that Faith Chapel was, four people started at the house. That was Faith Chapel, but it was just four people in a house. Then we went to a funeral home, and in the funeral home, that was Faith Chapel, but we were in the funeral home. Then we went to the Y. Then we went to the Campus A. How many of you remember when we was at Campus A? Campus A was different than Campus B, where we are now, right? But it's still us. We're still the same. What am I saying? September the 29th, we're going to be totally different. Things are going to be changing. The way we minister is going to be changing. We're going to have team ministry. Michael Kay and I will be ministering together every Sunday. Some Sundays you'll have me. Some Sundays you'll have Michael Kay. But it's going to be Faith Chapel. It's not going to be a different Faith Chapel. It's just going to be a fuller expression of who we are. 15 years ago, the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, this is the thing. April 2004, 15 years ago, I keep a journal. He said, this is the thing that we're doing. We're developing churches. So September the 29th, Faith Chapel Columbus will be launched. But it won't be a different Faith Chapel. It will be a fuller expression of Faith Chapel, a more mature Faith Chapel. We'll be deeper into what we've been called to be and what we've been called to do. Don't see it as some different church. It is us. It's just a fuller expression of who we are. Does that make sense to you? Now, along the destiny journey, your destiny journey, there's going to be shifts and changes. You're going to look different as you navigate through what God is calling you to do. But it's still going to be you. Along the destiny journey, there will be traps. And one of those traps that we have to avoid, we have to avoid the trap of comparisons. You understand what I'm saying? We don't want to compare Michael Moore with the little rocker to Mike Moore right now. That doesn't make sense because I'm the same person, just a fuller expression. So that's what I want to talk about. And I want you to listen carefully because God is going to be talking to you individually, going to be talking to you corporately. He's going to be talking to us about us. He's going to be talking to us about the body of Christ, avoiding the trap of comparisons. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And our operative verse is verse 12. I'm reading from the traditional King James, the authorized King James Version. Here's what it says. It says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves," say the last words, "are not," come on, say it. Say those last three words, "are not wise." Say it again, "are not wise." Now, listen at this. The traditional King James Version tells us that when we compare ourselves with others, whether it be other things, other people, other whoever, the Bible says that we are not being wise. Listen carefully. The English Standard Version says something different as it relates to comparisons. It says, "But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding." They are what? Without understanding. And then the Berean literal translation, the Berean literal translation says, "When we compare ourselves with others and measure ourselves by others, they show their ignorance." So the Bible clearly says that when we compare ourselves, whether it's on an individual level or on a corporate level, with others, the Bible clearly says, precious people, that we're not being wise. It says that we're operating without understanding. It says that we're showing our ignorance. Now listen to me very carefully. This is a prophetic word to us. Comparison is a satanic trap. And it is a satanic trap that all of us have fallen into. It is a what?
Satanic trap.
I could even take it further to make an impression on you. Comparisons is a sin. The Bible tells us not to do it, yet we do it all the time. When I get into the meat of this message, you're going to say, "Yeah, I've done that." You're going to say, "Yeah, I've done that." Because I have to say it. I have to lift my hand already. I have been victimized by comparisons. Now listen at this. What is comparison? Let's define our terms. What is it? Now I'm going to be moving kind of fast, okay? You can get it later, but get write what you can write down. Okay, listen at this. I don't have a one lesson to teach you this on. Listen at this. Comparisons is measuring one thing, or maybe a person, or evaluating one thing or a person against another. Watch this now. That is really not related. In order to make, watch this, one thing more or less desirable than it really is. I'll say that again. Comparisons is measuring one thing. Could be measuring one person or evaluating a thing or evaluating a person, watch this, against another. that is really not related. Watch this. In order to make one thing more or less desirable than it really is. Now, you understand that because I wanted to illustrate it. I have here two kinds of fruit. This is a what? This is an orange. This is a? Now, is there a difference between an orange and an apple?
Yes.
Is it a dramatic difference?
Yes.
Orange looks different than an apple. It feels different than an apple. An orange tastes different than an apple. An apple is usually sweet. Orange is citrus. So the vitamin and mineral makeup of an apple and an orange are different.
Amen.
Right? An apple will never be an orange.
My Lord, come on. Come on.
And an orange will what?
Never
be an apple. Isn't it unwise to compare the two? Isn't it unwise to tell an apple you ought to be like an orange? Isn't that showing our ignorance? Isn't that operating without understanding? Right? It doesn't make sense for us to compare the two. Let's enjoy both. Oh, hold that right there. Hold that right there. Oh, just hold that right there. Let's just enjoy the benefits of both. Can we do that? Can we just enjoy the benefits of both?
Amen.
What is comparison? Let me give you another quick definition. Comparisons is trying to evaluate or fix yourself by looking to the right or to the left. It is trying to evaluate or fix yourself by looking to the right or to the left. We're a Bible-based church, so let's go to the scriptures. Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Let's do this quickly. Turn, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Right away, you're going to see why comparisons is a trap. You're going to see why it is a trap to compare yourself to someone else. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 18, verse 5, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him, David, over the men of war. That's 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So Saul, who is the king of Israel, set David over his army. And after Saul endorsed David, the people embraced the one that Saul had endorsed. Come on, said they on the same team. Come on, said the same team. They on the same army. Saul is the king. David is the captain of the army. They are on the same team. Come on, say that. They're on the same team. Preach to me. Come on, preach to me.
They're on the same team.
Verse 6, and it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines that the women, come on, say the women. It's always somebody that will mess up a good thing. Come on, said the women. The women came out, all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul and with Tabray and joy and with the instrument. That's wonderful. They came out, they won the victory, they celebrate, they dance, and that's good. They rejoicing. Verse 7, though, and the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his 1,000 and David his 10,000. Why we gotta do that? I mean, why we gotta compare? They all, come on, say they're on the same team. What's up? What difference does it make? One is the king, one is the head of the army. They're on the same team, and the girl came out. David slew 10,000, Saul sold just 1,000. Messed it up. They were doing fine. They were working together. Messed it up. I'm going somewhere with this. And I'm going to challenge you to grow up. I'm going to challenge me to grow up. I'm going to challenge the body. We got to grow up. Anybody want to grow up? Watch this. And Saul, with verse 8, was very wroth. That means angry. That means mad. That means upset. And the fan displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000. And to me, they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Comparison. Why compare the guys? Why? I mean, they weren't spirit-led. Spirit of God didn't lead them to do that. They messed up the whole thing. Everything was working fine. What difference does it make? Let's look at another illustration. That probably didn't hit you. So turn over to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Comparison is a trap. We got to avoid that. We got to grow up. We got to recognize the trap and go around the trap. And we got to start holding each other accountable. We got to hold each other accountable. And we got to call each other out. That's a comparison. I want you to do it. I want you to start telling each other, no, that's a comparison. And that's a trap. We got to help each other grow. I'll talk about that next week. We have to help each other to grow. I know what you're thinking. Oh, you're messing them up, Pastor, because they're going to be telling each other. We're supposed to. The Bible says we're to admonish one another. That's biblical. John chapter 21, in verse 15, verse 16, verse 17, Jesus is commissioning Peter. Here's what he says to Peter. Feed my sheep. Got it? Peter said, yep. Feed my lambs. Got it, Peter? Yep, I got it. Feed my sheep. Peter got a little tired. Said, hey, man, I got it. I got it. I got my assignment. Feed my sheep, feed my lamb. I got my assignment. Now watch this. Jesus talking to Peter, giving him his assignment. Now look at what it says in verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which if he that betrayeth thee, look at verse 21. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Wait, Peter, wait. Let's back up. What shall he do? Jesus talking to you about your assignment. He looked over, saw John, and said, hey, what do you want him to do? Now I'm going to read the King James Version of Jesus' answer. And then I'm going to read you another translation. And then I'm going to give you Mike Moore's translation. Verse 22, Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? You follow what? Me. The New Century Version says, Jesus answered, if I want him to live till I come back, that is not your business. You follow me. When I was a little kid, what we said? When folk in somebody else's business?
Mind your own business.
Get you some business. He looking and thinking about what somebody else. Isn't that what we do a lot of times? Stay in your lane. You know, when I tell you that, that's what the Lord told me. I'm just telling you what he told me. He was talking to me. He said, stay in your lane. Let's look at one last illustration. Let's look at another illustration. The church at Corinth had a serious problem with comparisons. We looked at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, but I want you to go all the way back to the beginning. Let's look at this. This was a church. They operated in the gifts of the Spirit. They had great teachers and ministers coming through, but they was a baby church. Probably the most immature church in the epistles was the church at Corinth, even though they had the gifts of the Spirit operating. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's hit this right quick. Verse 10. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. If it hath been declared unto me of you by my brethren, of them which of the house of Chloe, that there is contention among you." Look at verse 12. "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas, I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, and were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Here is a church, a local church, had the gifts of the Spirit, great ministers coming through. Paul came through, Peter came through, Apollos. Each one of these ministry gifts, each one of these ministries has something unique about them. You take, for example, Paul. Paul was a deep thinker. He had a revelation of the Spirit of God and a revelation, and he brought forth almost two-thirds of the New Testament. Deep thinker. In fact, Peter in his writing says, Our brother Paul, he has some things that are hard to understand. Now that's Peter talking about Paul. Now Peter has something unique about him, is that he walked with the Lord for 3.5 years. That's special. But he was called to the Jew. Paul was called to the Gentiles. And then Apollos, just flat out great teacher. He was anointed to teach that word. He could open that word and expound that word. And rather than them embracing the gifts, they start comparing themselves. Listen, I'm following Paul. And others say, well, I'm following Apollos because he can flat out teach that word. And then another one said, listen, but Paul didn't walk with Jesus. I'm behind Peter. And then others say, it's spiritual. I'm following Christ. You know, God, we got somebody spiritual in the bunch. I'm smiling. They're still competing. Now, look at what Paul said about them in the third chapter, verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to the babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, jealousy, and strife, and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as mere men?" You walk like unsaved people, he says. "For while one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe. Even the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Paulus water, but it was God that gave the increase. So then there's neither he that planteth anything, neither he that water, but it's God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth, he that waters, are one." They're on the same team. That's what he's saying. Apollos, Paul, Peter, they're on the same team, and they're all workers together with Christ. And nobody got anything that they didn't get from God. That's what he's saying. Now watch this. Look at verse 21, same chapter, 1 Corinthians 3:21. It's a trap, y'all. We got to get out of it. God is calling us to spiritual maturity. Somebody got to be mature. Can't we be mature, Faith Chapel?
Amen. Amen.
Can't we be a mature local church?
Amen. Amen. Yes.
We got to make some adjustments then.
Amen. Amen.
You got to make some adjustments.
Amen.
You really want to be mature? You're going to have to zip it. You're going to have to correct one another. You're going to have to hold each other accountable. If you really want to be mature, you want to be a mature church and not just a baby church. Listen what the scripture says, verse 21. "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. Comparisons is a trap that we have to what? Avoid. Now, you ready to get down into this? Okay, let's get down with this and let's talk about this. There are different manifestations of comparison, so let's talk about them. On an individual level, where we compare our gift, we compare our talents, we compare our positions, we compare our possessions, we compare our status, and even us parents, sometimes we compare our children. Now, I have a God brother that I'm very close to. He esteems me. I esteem him. I look up to him. He looks up to me. We love each other. But early when we were kids, our godmother kind of almost messed us up a little bit because I was the goody one. You always got them kids that's going to do what you tell them to do. They ain't. And then you always got the kid, why? And my godmother made a parenting mistake. She would say, won't you be like Michael? You need to be like Michael. That didn't set well with him. Thank good God that we didn't internalize it like some of you. You're struggling with your siblings right now. You ain't close to your siblings right now because of things that happened in your childhood. You don't have to say amen to that. I know I'm preaching. I know I'm talking to you. You're not close. You're not close. You brothers and sisters, y'all ain't close. You ain't close. You don't care. You care about as much for each other as people that you don't know.
Wow.
Because of things that happen when you were raised up. Because we tend to compare. And parents, you never compare your children. Right? Do I need to go back to my apple orange? Okay. Okay, sometimes there's comparisons on a corporate level. We compare our church, our ministry, our business to others. I bet nobody's never done that. How many of you have compared Faith Chapel to another church? Let me see your hand. Sometimes we compare on a corporate level. There are different ministers in the body of Christ. We look at this one, Paul, Peter, Apollos, and we compare them on a corporate level. Sometimes we compare inside our churches in our local settings. In a little while, Mike gonna be ministering to you as much as I am. Are you gonna compare him to me? You're going to compare me to him? I'm talking to you. Are you going to compare Faith Chapel Birmingham to Faith Chapel Columbus? I see a head going like this. Yeah. You're not going to be religious today, right? We're going to get real and we're going to grow up, right? Sometimes we compare our present call to our past experience. Spirit of God, I told you, April of 2004 said, this is April 2004, 15 years ago. The Spirit of God, I got in my journal, he said, this is the thing that we are doing. We are developing churches. That's our assignment. That's what we are called to do. So are we going to compare the way things were? Listen, it's never going to be the same. It's never going to be the same. Just like I'm not that little boy around the little horse. I'm not the little boy with the scabbage on the side and the guns and the boots. And my mama had me decked out. I had the little scarf around. I'm not that anymore, but I'm still me. It's not going to be the same. It's never going to be the same, but it's going to be us. Just a more mature version of us. Are you out there? Can we talk for a few minutes about what's wrong with comparisons?
Yes.
Do you want to get delivered?
Yes.
I want deliverance.
Amen.
I don't want to play no games. Let's look at what's wrong. Number one, God did not create individuals to be clones. Say that. Every person is unique and called to a unique purpose. God uniquely equips every individual with gifts and abilities, listen at this, to carry out their unique purpose. My son, Michael K., is awesome. He can flat out teach the word. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. But he's different. He'll take a story and he'll draw analogies with that story and he'll keep you right in that story. This grace. He's better at telling stories than I am. But I exegete the scriptures. I take one scripture and tell you this meant this and this meant that and that meant that and that meant that and that connected to that and that connected to that and that connected to that. He's never going to do that. Because he is a orange. And I am a. Don't try to make him me and don't try to make me him. And don't be immature and say, you know, I like the way you do it, but your daddy, he's so long-winded. You get us in and get us out. But he just. He's so long. See, now you're showing your ignorance. See, you're showing your ignorance. Your ignorance will be loud and clear when I finish this message. God did not create individuals to be clones. Number two. Listen at this before I get to number two. Stand up, Pete, for a second. Anybody ever heard my wife minister? You know what? People say this all the time. They say, I like Miss Pete because Miss Pete tell it like it is. You know what? All she is being is her. Be you. Come on. Just be you. Be you. And don't stop explaining. This is me. You can take me or leave me. Shut up and just be you. Just be you, be you. And everybody gonna recognize, oh, I like her. I like Miss Pete. Be you. Don't explain you. Be you. Because there are people that appreciate you. There are people that God has connected to your gift and your grace and your anointing. Don't worry about the folk who don't like you. That's not who you're trying to reach. That's not your target audience. That folk won't walk across the street to listen to Mike Moore. They won't walk across the street. My mama wouldn't have joined this church if my grandkids hadn't been born. Shoot. And my mama loved Mike Moore. Shoot. I'm the best thing ever happened to humanity. But she would not have joined the church if it weren't for Mike and Tiffany. And she told me one time, she said, I like you, Mike. She said, but I like a little gravy. She like a little hooping, you know what I mean. That's a celebratory form of preaching that black ministers preach. It's a gift. It's an anointing. We should stop putting people down because they can hoop. Most great hoopers really minister the word first, and then they close it out with the hoop. So let's stop putting folk down because they don't teach or they don't this. Let's stop doing that. I like them. I want some teeth. See, now you showing your ignorance. Because there's some people that God is touching through the hoopers. I think I'm going to give an altar call at the end of this message. God did not, number two, God did not create ministers, ministries, and churches to be clones. Stop comparing Faith Chapel to everybody else. Stop comparing everybody else to Faith Chapel. We're not clones. We have an assignment. God gives each church an assignment. Watch this. And he only gives us resources to fulfill that assignment. So I want you to stop going out looking at somebody else coming back here and telling us what we should be doing. Because we're not supposed to be doing what they're doing. God didn't call us to do. And stop putting down other churches because they're not doing what we're doing. We got a dome. Y'all got a dome? We got 7 domes. How many domes y'all got? You're showing your ignorance now. I think I'm going to give me an altar call. Comparisons put one up and another down. Saul, 1,000. David, whenever you compare, you're going to put somebody down and somebody up. Comparison generates feelings of superiority or inferiority. When you compare yourself, you fall in the trap of superiority if you're doing a little bit better than somebody else, and it's always connected to pride and arrogance. If you compare yourself and others seem to be, or you feel that they're doing better than you, you're going to end up in inferiority, and that's connected to discouragement. And ingratitude. Comparisons, creates ingratitude and an unhealthy dissatisfaction for the level of blessings that God has bestowed on you. Think about it. Here you are, you were bleeding for an apartment. It took every bit of faith you did, and you got the apartment you wanted, it's furnished the way you want it, and you were jumping around in there thanking God. And then you heard about somebody who got a new house. Now, if you're not careful, you become ungrateful about what God has blessed you, and then you have a unhealthy dissatisfaction with the level of blessing that God has placed on your life. We fall in the same trap in ministry. God is blessing the church. The church got 200 members. The church is running over. It's running over with 200 members. And we look at another church and they got thousands. And if we're not careful, we start feeling bad because we only got 200. But God sees us as being faithful with the 200. We're growing. We're progressing. God is doing something special. But if we look to the left, we look to the right, we start feeling this sense of ingratitude for what God has done for us. Comparisons creates division inside and outside the church. We should rejoice when our teammates win. Watch this. Anybody watching the football yesterday? Oh, it's football season, ain't it, brothers? We happy. And sisters, I know y'all like some football too. Oh, it's the season, baby. We all happy. You ever see teams, how they operate? A guy can run a touchdown. The folk on the defense jumping up and down. They're running up and down the side. They're running up and down. A guy can throw a pass. And the folk on the defense, high five and jumping up and down. A guy can fall on a fumble and the quarterback going up there high fiving. They didn't score, but the team scored. Since the team scored, they scored. We don't do that in the church. Church over here just doing some great things. And we try to find something wrong with it. They ain't teaching the word over there, baby. Ain't no word going on over there. Why do we have to find something wrong? This church over here is doing great. This church over here is doing great. This church is doing great. They teammates. We on the same team. Let's high five them. Yes. I mean, just got a pat of cake. Didn't get no love on that. I think I'm going to give an altar call. We're on the same team. I know we don't have the same name in front of our churches, but if it's a Christian church, we're on the, come on, say it. We're on the same
team.
Come on, say it.
We're on the same team.
Come on, say it.
We're on the same
team. So we're going to high five them. We're not going to talk them down. We're going to what?
High five.
That is if you want to grow up. It creates division. Division is anti-kingdom. It took me a lot of years to become kingdom focused. Early in my ministry, I thought everybody was going to come to Faith Chapel. I'm going to pastor the city. I'm the pastor for the city. I had to grow up and understand everybody ain't going to come to Faith Chapel. Everybody shouldn't come to Faith. Some people be miserable but they're Faith Chapel. Miserable. Some of you probably miserable because you shouldn't be here. Should be somewhere else. If you're dissatisfied with where you are, go where you're satisfied. Go where you're happy. It's all right. We're on the same team. I think I'm going to give me an altar call. Comparisons is symptomatic of spiritual immaturity. Being a kid. I remember our little granddaughter, Megan. We took her where? We took Megan. We took her to Disney on Ice. And right outside the door, right outside before we went into the place, they had these little light things. And we stopped and bought Megan one of them lights. She just spinning the light. We feeling good because she's spinning the light. We got in there. Some other kids looked like they were doing something else with some other kind of light. Megan forgot all about her little light. She said, I want that. What about, we don't pay money. What about this one? What's wrong with this one? She was fine till she saw somebody else with a different kind of light. Now she was, that's the way children are. We see somebody else, now we want that. I think I'm gonna give me an invitation. Because y'all got guilt all over y'all face. I mean, Lord, the whole church. Okay, let me tell you, I'm almost finished. I'm really over. But I'm almost finished. If this message, I ain't through yet, so don't get up and leave. I got two more points, okay? How many of y'all feel a little guilt? Stand up if you feel like this message has just kind of hit you. Come on, stand up. I want to see. Let me get up here. Let me see you. Camera pan the audience. Lord have mercy. Sit down. Comparisons is stupid. Come on, say it. It's stupid. Why settle for Paul or Peter or Apollos when we can have all of them? Why settle for Mike Moore when you can have Steve Green, while you can have Chris, whoever? Who? Name some names. Chris why settle where we can have all of it? They all ours. They were given to us. Every minister was given to us. Come on, say, comparison is stupid. Comparison keeps us from recognizing and appreciating the manifold grace of God on individuals. I talk about my son. Lanitra is anointed, isn't she? The girl got me worshiping God. I used to be straight out word. Lanitra came in here and started worshiping God. Now I want to run. Now I want to worship. Why? There's a grace there. Priscilla is creative. Let's not be jealous of that. Let's not be jealous. She's just creative. Okay, let's not find nothing wrong. Because, see, you got something wrong. People are creative. They got, and see, what I've learned to do, I've learned to appreciate the grace on different people's lives.
That's right. That's good.
And they don't want to run, so I'm going to run behind them.
That's good.
Appreciate the grace on people. Grow up. That's good. Grow up. Grow up. You know, when we compare ourselves, finally it keeps us from walking in the fullness of what God has called us to be. It took me a lot of years to like me. It took me a lot of years to just like me. I'm emotional. I cry watching a commercial. I get happy. It's just me. And I'm all right with me now. Are you all right with you?
Yeah.
I mean, for real. I mean, are you looking to the left? You're looking to the right? Nobody's like you. There's nobody on the planet like you. Are you all right with you? Because if you compare yourself to somebody else, you're going to lose out on that unique, special thing that only you bring to the table. Come on, say, I'm all right with me. Stand. Let's repent. I ain't gonna make you go to the altar. You come on out, Keisha. I ain't gonna make you go to the altar, but we do need to go to the altar. I was joking, but we do need to repent. We do need. Because God has taken us somewhere, precious people. He's taken us somewhere. And if we compare what we had to where we're going, we're gonna miss it. We're going to miss it. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of repentance. You can pray any way you want to, and then we're going to turn it over to Keisha.
Okay.
Father, in Jesus' name, we heard your word today, and in some places we laughed, and some places we had fun, and we enjoyed. But we also saw our spiritual immaturity. We also saw that we've been unwise. We've operated without understanding. We've been foolish. We've created our own sense of dissatisfaction. We've been envious and jealous of others and the grace. And you said that having gifts differing, you wanted us to be different. You wanted us to be unique. But we've compared ourselves to others, and we repent of that. We ask and receive your forgiveness, that forgiveness that you paid for on the cross. We receive it, and we commit now to never compare churches, ministers, ministries, never compare ourselves to others, but help us, dear God, to celebrate the grace on others. Help us to remember that we're all one, that we're all on the same team, And then help us, God, to be all right with ourselves. We receive your forgiveness today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, say, I receive that.